Welcome again to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 8, and we have come to verse 36, where Jesus tells the Jews, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father." The context here suggests that freedom from sin and death is the focus of verse 36. Because earlier, in verses 21 and 24 of this chapter, Jesus told the Jews that they would die in their sin unless they believed in Him. Sin, of course, is a form of slavery. Peter put it this way in his second epistle in chapter 2. He wrote, "For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved." This slavery of sin was described by Augustine some 1600 years ago. He wrote, "An evil conscience flees not from itself. It has no place to go. It follows itself. Yea, he cannot withdraw from himself, for the sin he commits is within. He has committed sin to obtain some bodily pleasure. The pleasure passes away. The sin remains. What delighted is gone. The sting has remained." How true that is. Sin certainly was in the minds of the Jews, as Jesus points out in verse 37, when he said, "I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you." Jesus didn't dispute their relation to Abraham as natural descendants, but because they desired to kill him, they have nothing else in common with Abraham. Now, why did they want to kill Jesus? Here is a man who had harmed nobody. He had brought all kinds of benefits to people. He had comforted, healed, raised the dead, and given God's wisdom. Ah, but he interfered with their religion, and he humiliated some of those religious leaders who were peddling teachings that were far less than true. Now, the reason they wanted to kill him according to Jesus is in verse 37, "Because my word finds no place in you." They had heard his word, but they gave it no consideration and no respect. In verse 38, Jesus wants them to know that these words, for which they have no room or reception, came from the Father. He says, "I am speaking of what I have seen with my Father, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father." They had a continuing practice of evil. Jesus, on the other hand, had a practice of consistently doing good. Jesus, here in this context, does not identify their Father yet, which causes them to proclaim Abraham to be their Father. That is not what Jesus had in mind, however. Let's read verses 39 through 47, and we'll see what he had in mind. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You do what your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came forth from God. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, He speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. From this text we can see that when they claimed to have Abraham as their father, they meant far more than a physical ancestry. They assumed spiritual ties also. Abraham, in the book of Genesis, was called a friend of God. So they assume the same for themselves. Not so, says Jesus. If you were Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. Now consider, what did Abraham do? What characterized this man, Abraham? Well, first of all, Abraham listened to God. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 12. Secondly, he believed God. God made a promise. God said, Abraham, look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 18, we read about Abraham welcoming God's messengers. Then in chapter 22 of Genesis, Abraham obeys God. But Abraham did something else. He also rejoiced in the Christ. It tells you that in this chapter in verse 56. Truly, truly, I say to you, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, all the things listed here, and I probably haven't covered everything that Abraham was known for, but at least these are the major items which are totally absent in the people with whom Jesus is speaking. These people were not listening to God. They were not believing God. And they certainly were not welcoming God's messenger. Jesus was that messenger. These people hate the messenger from heaven. Abraham, on the other hand, welcomed the messengers sent by God. Jesus came as the promised seed of Abraham, but they do not receive his word, like Abraham received the word when it was sent from God. Now the question is, when did Abraham rejoice in Christ's day? Probably when God revealed the coming worldwide blessing, which is written in Deuteronomy 18. It says, Then the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Well, there are two promises here. One that deals with the physical aspects, and that's being a great and powerful nation, and then all nations on earth being blessed. That implies something spiritual. Now, have the Jews blessed the whole world? Most people would say, no, they haven't, and that's why they are being persecuted. People want to get rid of them because of their jealousy concerning these Jews. The Jews are skilled, and many people are not as skilled and not as wealthy. But how would the whole world be blessed through him? Through his promised seed, that's how, and that seed is Christ. Galatians chapter 3 identifies him as Abraham's seed. So Abraham must have gotten some understanding from God when God told him, all nations will be blessed through you. And he knew that the Messiah was going to come from his loins. This was a promise about the Savior. Now, returning to John chapter 8, Jesus told the Jews that they were not like Abraham, therefore they were not Abraham's children. And that's a term that has some spiritual significance. They were descendants, and their genealogy proved that. But the Word of God tells us that not all physical descendants are God's people. I think we need this application because there is so much in Christian tradition today that tells us that if our parents were Christians or if our father was a preacher or an evangelist, that makes us a Christian also. And somehow we get on this kick that we are heirs of Christianity because our parents were Christians. Somehow they think it's kind of passed down. You might get your parents' house or his bank account, but you can't get his sonship with God that way. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, neither are they children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. Now that's explained in the next passage, and it says, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as his descendants. The Jews of the first century had absolutely no understanding of this difference between the children of the flesh and the children of the promise. All believers, whether Jews or Gentiles, are Abraham's children and children of God at the same time. Now, since this has relevance for the church, I want to call attention to another passage in Romans, and Paul writes this for the benefit of the Jews primarily, because they were the ones who thought they had special privileges with God because of their physical ancestry. It's in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Paul writes, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." What an interesting passage. What people think you are by what they see is not necessarily what God thinks you are, because he looks on the inside. This can be deceptive. People go around and pretend to be God's children and do everything that God's children do and still are not God's children because they are not changed on the inside. And by inside, I mean they have not had a spiritual change. The real Jew was a believer, and God knew who those real Jews were. Likewise, the true child of God today is known by God. Now let's substitute the word Christian for the word Jew in this passage, and I think I can make a strong point by it. For he is not a Christian who is one outwardly. Neither is baptism that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Christian, that is, a real Christian, who is one inwardly, and baptism is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from man, but from God. Thank you for joining us here on this broadcast today. The Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry. It's supported by friends and listeners. We invite your questions and your comments. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.